Great to see you this morning. It's great to be together. Folks, the greatest day in anybody's life, it's got to be when Jesus comes into their lives. How many can testify this morning just to say, that was the greatest day in my life? It is the most, you know, there's many wonderful days in our lives, but we never forget when Jesus comes to live in our hearts and we open our lives up and receive Him as our Lord and Savior. It's great to see you this morning. It is baptism morning, and we're going to have some testimonies now for folks who are going to get baptized in water. And we're going to start with ladies first. So, Janice, where's Janice at? She's there. Let's give her a warm welcome as she comes and shares what God's done in her life.
Hi, I'm Janice, for anybody who doesn't know me. I was brought up in a really strict Catholic home, very loving, lovely, happy childhood, and went to church every single Sunday, never ever missed until I was in my 40s. And my son, David, Jane, and Laura paid for me to go to Rome for the day to see the Vatican, something I'd always wanted to do. And I got there and I walked in and was just so sad. I just looked at all the gold and all the jewels and I just thought, I've spent all my life and this is just not right. And I never went to church again. And I don't think I ever would have gone again until Jane came here and we saw such a change in our life, we couldn't believe it. In fact, as a family, we were very worried. What has she got herself into? But she asked, could we come to our baptism? And we couldn't because we'd already had something arranged for that day. But she said, well, come for my testimony. And I said, right, we'll do that. And we came in and it was life-changing. We cancelled the next week and came to our baptism. And we've been coming here really no Sundays ever since, you know. So, I came here with an open mind and just felt it was just the right place for me. I really related to this church. So, here we go. I'm sure I had some more little bits to say as well. Oh, yes. We haven't had a great year. Lots of things have happened. But whereas before I would have probably been the right state, I feel really optimistic and able to cope. So, I would like to just thank the Lord for my family and my friends. I feel truly, truly blessed. Yeah. And let's just go forward from here. Yeah. Is that all right?
Thanks, Jan. Was it all right? I think it was pretty good, don't you? Praise God. Shannon, where's Shannon? Come on, Shannon. Praise God. Wonderful, you got the posse with you as well. There you go.
Hi, I'm Shannon, I'm 13. And I've always been brought up in a fairly Christian environment as I live with my granddad for a few years and he comes to church. I've been coming to church since I was 2 or 3 weeks old. And my mum became a Christian a few years ago, but I finally gave my heart to Jesus on the 12th of December 2011. This top was actually brought to me by Owen that day. It's only been recently, though, that I felt God in my life a lot more than I ever have, and I really want to be baptised, though, because I want to be obedient to God, and I really want the Lord to take hold of my life.
God bless you, Alan. Come and share what God's done in your life.
Wow, it feels so, so weird, Sharon. I'm used to talking, but today I've been so nervous about this. That lady that was up before is my wife. For those of you who don't know, I asked her out when she was 15. I was 36. No, I was 18 at the time, but So many times over the years, she's wished she'd said no. Because I always think of Janice as a blessing for me. And I've been her crust to bear, I'm afraid, on too many occasions. Although our family here is, we've got a wonderful family, 3 kids, one of the partners, grandkids, and friends that we had all the time. We've been down here, and it's just been so blessed in so many ways. Although, there have been difficulties as well. One of the problems I had with my faith was I spent my life working in newspaper offices, and they can be pretty godless places, to be honest. In fact, back in the day, I don't know if anybody saw Life on Mars about coppers in the 70s who used to drink and swear. I mean, that was what it was like in newspaper offices back when I was young. It was compulsory to drink every day. You had to go out, not that I had to force me, but we used to go out every lunchtime and drink, and then cook. And it was just, that's the way life was. But Janice, as she said, was from a good Catholic family, and I used to go to church with her. And then when I was in my 30s, I went on a weekend where there was a priest, and I got quite moved, and I actually converted, and I became a reader, and I was on the church council, and we were really active in the Catholic Church until she stopped going, and I stopped going. And I've been kind of drifting since then until Jane said that Sharon had got along to church. And if you knew Jane and Sharon, when they were teenagers, you'd know that God does work in mysterious ways. But when I came and saw Sharon glowing and Jane so happy, it's just, in this place is just so amazing. I've felt, I mean, the words up there, you're a stranger only once, it couldn't be more true. This is my family, my brothers, my sisters. I feel as at home here as more at home sometimes than I do at home. It's just a wonderful, wonderful place. And you do, for me, what it is, it's brought God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, it's brought them to life. I feel them here. When we went in the encounter weekend, I spent all weekend crying and hugging other men. And I still feel the same. I've had a few men hugs this morning. I'll have a few more before I go. But to me, it was like, just one image I'd sort of leave you with is, it's like, if you saw The Wizard of Oz, the old one with Judy Garland, when Dorothy lives in a black and white grey world, and then she gets taken up to Oz, and she opens the door, and it's Technicolor, and people are singing and dancing, and that's what this was like for me coming here. And I just thank God that I came here. Thank Jane and Sharon for bringing me. And that's it. Thank you.
I think it would be good if we baptized Alan and Janice first, and we'll as man and wife, I think it would be good for them to get baptized more or less together. If you guys can get into the tank, nice and warm. Great. Send them first. Maybe we'll have Janice first. I think Janice. But before you both get into the tank, Alan, if you could still stop out here. Lindsay Bruce, who used to work with you, Alan, before you became a Christian, and she had quite an influence, I believe, upon your life. As you saw the life that she lived, even before you became a Christian. She's wrote something for both of you. Not able to be with you today, but she's wrote something, and I just want to read it out to you, if I can find it quite quickly. For Alan and Janice, it is a huge privilege to be contributing, even in a small way, to this incredible occasion. And it's ironic too, actually, because I know Alan through work, and he is the one usually critiquing my words. But on this occasion, I can say what I like. I am absolutely thrilled that both Alan and Janice are taking the next step in their faith journey together, and doing so in front of their new church family. It's no small step. In passing through these waters, you are giving God permission to begin something new and amazing. And however good the past has been to you both, the best is yet to come. And because she's Scottish, she's put, there's a wee verse in Philippians, and it simply says, I thank God every time I think of you. And for you both today, that's certainly the case. This comes with much love. Thank you so much for letting me be part of this momentous occasion. I look forward to hearing the reports. Lindsay. Praise God. So that's lovely. And Janice, the scripture the Lord has given to me to share with you today is a scripture from the book of Proverbs. And the whole chapter of Proverbs 31 talks about a virtuous woman. But the scripture is in verse 28. It says this, her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, he calls you blessed. And he praises you. I think that's very appropriate for what Alan said today. But I really believe, Janice, that God has given you children, natural children, but he's going to give you a lot of spiritual children as well. A lot of people who are going to find Jesus through your life, you'll be going to come be a type of a mother to them, and they're going to arise, as well as your own children, and call you blessed. The Lord bless you. Amen. Would you like to get into the tank? And I think it would be good if your daughter prayed for you. Don't drop down dead, Jane. Go and pray for your mum.
Oh, hold your hand. Dear Lord, I would just like to thank you so much for the blessings you've put on my family. Thank you for bringing my mum, and like Pastor Cliff said, please raise her up to be a mighty woman with you. She's already wonderful, but I know you can make it even better. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Janice, have you repented of your sin?
I have.
And made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior?
I have.
Then we baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Alan, do you want to jump in next? You mentioned Sharon, Alan. You mentioned Sharon, that she's been, you've known Sharon, grown up with Jane, and saw the change. Sharon's going to come and pray with you.
Lord Jesus, I just thank you today for Alan, Lord. Lord Jesus, I just pray that you will open the floodgates of heaven, Lord, and pour blessings on his life, Lord. I pray that you will fill him with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and lead him into all that you have for him, Lord. Lord Jesus, I just pray that you will fill him with your peace and joy and happiness. Lord, in the rest of his days, he will seek you with all of his heart, all of his soul, and all of his strength. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Alan, the scripture I've got for you is the book of Job. That's a good book, isn't it? The book of Job. It's all a book about a man's sufferings. You did say that Janice has suffered a little bit more than you had. But in Job chapter 42 and verse 12, it says this, the Lord blessed the latter part of his life more than his beginning. So the Lord blessed the latter part of Alan's life more than you've had up to now. And God has blessed you, but I really believe that the days that he's got for you that are left to serve him, that God's going to mightily bless you much more than he's ever done all through your life up to this point in time. There are more blessings coming your way, Alan, that will increase. The Lord bless you. Amen.
Alan, have you repented of all your sins?
I have.
And have you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes.
On confession of your faith, we baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Praise God. You notice we have the littlest folks on the leadership team to baptize them. Where's Shannon? Shannon. Praise God, Shannon. Shannon, the scripture I've got for you is in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. And you've said today in your testimony how really from two years of age, 2 to 3 weeks, that's even sooner. But I know that you've been taught the scriptures from a child. And your granddad's had a big part to play in that, and now your mom. It says that from a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. And it's what you've learned, Shannon, as a little child. The Bible says, train up a child in the way that they should go. And when they're old, they won't depart from it. But all that's been sown into your life from your granddad and your mom, it's now bearing fruit. And you've come to know Jesus for yourself. The Lord bless you. Amen. Do you want to jump in the tank? Sarah, would you like to come and pray for your daughter? I'm sure you would. God bless you, love.
Lord, I just want to give you thanks and praise for Shannon's life, Lord. And I just want to thank you for just drawing near to you over the last few months. And I just pray, Lord, that you just take hold of her life, Lord, and you just go before her in all of her ways, Lord, and make her ways clear. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Shannon, have you repented of your sin? Have you confessed the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Then we baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Wonderful. Praise God.
The train came to an abrupt halt just before the railway platform. Everything turned off in that carriage. The generator stopped, the lights went out, the air conditioning stopped. But there was Alison, and Alison was a Gideon, and she got a little New Testament like this open. And she'd started sharing with the young man that she'd met just about half an hour earlier on Sheffield Midland Railway Station about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what actually happened was that Alison was there on the station at Sheffield Midland, and she was heading to Manchester, and she'd noticed a young man on the platform who was looking very upset about something. Now, Alison's a lady in her 60s, and she said to me when she shared this testimony, she said, I don't normally go and chat to 20-year-old young men, but he just looked so upset, I had to go and speak to him. And the young man said, I'm leaving Sheffield to go and see my wife that I haven't been married to that long, and I'm going to tell her it's all over. It's just not working out. I've got to go and finish it with her. So she could see that he was very upset, and they managed to get on the train together, and they sat on the train together opposite each other. And, well, Alison, she was a Christian, obviously. She was a member of the Gideons, and she wanted to share about the love of the Lord Jesus. So, thankfully, she'd got one of these in her handbag. We call these personal worker testaments, and as Gideons, we give them away to people that we meet. Wherever we meet them, wherever we are, if we get the chance, we'll give one of these away. Last night, we had a meal, Angela and I, and just as we left, and it was a brilliant meal, the owner of the restaurant shook our hands, and we said, can we just give you a gift? And he was only too glad to receive a copy of God's Word. So, going back to Alison, she'd opened up the book and she'd started showing the young man right in the front, the help section. In the front of every Gideon Bible and every New Testament, there's a help section where to find help when you're feeling upset about things, you don't know what to do about things, even contemplating marriage. And she opened up the page and she was beginning to share with him, but she realized that they were nearly at the station and she just really wasn't going to have time to share and even possibly lead that young man to the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's when the train stopped and everything went silent. And everything in the carriage went silent. And nobody knew why. Well, they sat there for about 5-10 minutes and nothing happened. There were no announcements. There was just nothing. And she managed to share about the Lord Jesus Christ and share from the front of this little book. It made a real big difference to his life. Do you know, after 10 minutes, the guard came through and he says, well, as you know, he said, because I've said over the announcement, that we've had a problem on the line. And everybody in the carriage said, we haven't heard a thing. And he said, well, I made an announcement a little while ago and I just told you that we thought there was a problem on the line. He said, the driver has an automatic system on his dashboard and if there's something on the line, it comes up emergency. So he had to do an emergency stop and that's why we've stopped here. But myself as a guard and also the train driver, we've walked all the way up the track to the platform and we can't see anything on the train line. So we're now going to take you in to the platform and we're going to let you get off. They'd never heard a thing. All they'd done in that actual train carriage was listen to Alison speaking to this young man about the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything turned back on. They rolled slowly up to the platform. The young man said goodbye to Alison and he ran to his wife. And he embraced her. That's the difference the Lord Jesus Christ can make in our lives. As you know, and as we're going to hear and see in just a little while, of those people who've accepted Jesus as their Savior, and they're now going to do that by going through the waters of baptism. I want to read a short section for you from Romans chapter 10. And this really speaks about us all being partners in the gospel. Yeah, I know we are Gideons and we leave Bibles. We're the most forgetful people there are because every time we go to a hotel bedroom, we go and leave our Bible there. But that's okay and that's part of what we want to do. We want to have the Word of God, the Bible, left in every hotel bedroom and anywhere that we ever can. Just by the way, you may have heard and you may even have seen last year that Travel Lodge were throwing the Bibles out of the hotels. It was actually headlined in August this last year. It was headlined in the Daily Mail. The BBC Online ran it that Saturday morning every hour that Travelodge are throwing Bibles out of hotels. Well, a strange thing happened because God's in charge. Actually, we think we're in charge, don't we? But actually, God's in charge. And we have an office at Lutterworth in Leicestershire to the Gideons. And when we opened up the office after that Saturday morning, on the Monday morning, we opened up the office and there were already 4 messages on that on our answering machine from Travelodge managers. Saying, please, could we have some Bibles for our hotel as soon as possible, please? That's what God can do, can't he? He can turn things upside down. The week carried on like that. By the end of that week, we'd had 40 calls from Travel Lodge managers. Please, can we have some Bibles for our hotel as soon as possible, please? And then, would you believe, on Friday afternoon, Travel Lodge UK rang our headquarters and said, could we have 500 Bibles as soon as possible, please? You know, we hear from the press, we hear negative things, we hear that Christians are becoming less and less. I actually believe that believing Christians are actually on the up. Real believing Christians are on the up. And we're witnessing to that, and here today you're witnessing to that. But you know, God turned that apparently awful situation upside down. Romans 10, verse 8 through to 14 says this. The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I'm just going to read that again. That if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And the baptismal candidates today are actually saying, and by their testimonies, and thank you for your testimonies, brilliant. Testimonies are so encouraging, aren't they? You know, I always think with testimonies, nobody can argue with you, because that's your story, that's what I was, that's what I am now, and that's what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me. So it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I'm going to repeat that again. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Now, I'm not claiming that all Gideons have got beautiful feet by any means, and I certainly haven't. But, you know, we're just simply doing a job. And you might know a little bit about the Gideons. We're an association of Christian business and professional men and our wives. That sounds a bit sort of haughty and so on. We're not all accountants, lawyers, solicitors, or judges. We're just people who either have a job or had a job, if we're retired from it, that has some responsibility in it. So if you feel that this is touching you by the time we finish talking this morning and you'd like to speak with us about the possibility of yourselves becoming Gideons, we would really like to speak with you, but as God leads. So we're an association of Christian business and professional men and our wives. And we're giving Bibles away, or placing Bibles, at the rate of 3 every second. So every second of the day, 24/7, which is pretty much your heart rate or the way that you're breathing in and out, 3 more copies of God's holy word have been placed somewhere in the world. And the Lord has opened some really difficult lands to us, even including China, where we are giving away Bibles there in China. I don't know whether you know, but the biggest printing press in the world of Bibles is actually in China. Strange, isn't it, how things like that happen? So we're giving away at the rate of 3 copies of God's word every second somewhere in the world. And we're aiming, that's about 89 million a year, by the way, we're aiming to do 120 million by God's grace by the year 2020. Aiming to do 120 million. We're working in 200 countries of the world where God has opened up those opportunities to us. And as I say, some really difficult countries, some strongly Islamic countries, which you may think would not welcome, but yeah, we get the opportunity. Would you believe I was in the country of Mali in December 2011, just helping the Gideons there, who are operative in the country of Mali, to give Bibles away.
God's word is powerful, isn't it? And the country of Mali that Chris was saying he'd been to is now really closed, but all those thousands of Bibles that they gave away are still there. So they are still working because God's word is powerful. So one of the areas that I'm just coming up to tell you about is the work in hospitals. If you've ever been in hospital, hopefully you will have found a Gideon New Testament in the door locker. The ones that are left are these blue ones. Actually, hospitals now have these modern swish, wipe clean lockers that are more difficult to have the holders on, but there should still be one of these there. Now, what God calls us to is not always easy, is it? And I hate hospitals. And I must say, this is one of the areas that I really don't like doing. So when Chris says, right, it's time to go and top up the hospital in Doncaster, I'm thinking, oh no, do I have to? But as a branch in Doncaster, we try to get as many members as possible to go along on a Saturday morning, and we start at the top of the hospital. We've prayed beforehand, and I do pray a lot because I really feel uncomfortable in hospitals. but I go. Well, one day I was feeling particularly like I just don't want to be here, Lord. But please use me. We start at the top where all the lifts are and the wards either sides. The men go off and do the men's wards and the men's beds, and the ladies go off and see the ladies. And we just check the lockers, check the Bibles are in good condition, check this one there. If there isn't one there, we'll put one place one there, or if it's getting a bit grubby, we'll swap them. And sometimes we get a chance just to say hello to patients, but not always at all. But I'd walked onto this ward thinking, oh no, here we go. And I met a friend of mine who was actually a mum from the school gates. Our children were at school together. And I said, hello, what are you doing here? And she said, I'm in here with my mum. Her mum had moved in to live with them, but had had some heart problems, which I didn't know about. And she said, oh, come and say hello. She'll love to meet you, because we did know her. So I went across and sat with them for a while and chatted with them. And they said, well, what are you doing here? So I said, well, I'm with the Gideons, and we're just checking the Bibles. And I checked in her locker and made sure there was one there for her. And they said, well, actually, she's going to be moved for some for an operation to another hospital. So it won't make any difference. It won't, you know, we haven't got that Bible. So I said, well, would you like one to take with you? Thought I'd take the opportunity. Now, Chris mentioned the personal worker testaments that we have. So I'd got some of those with me. So I said, would you like one to take with you? And her mother was thrilled that she could actually have one to take away and take it with her. And I also gave one to my friend. Now, we don't always know what the outcome is. We just feel that we have to be faithful to give out God's word. And as we've said, God's word is powerful and will do the work. And I thought nothing more of it. A couple of weeks later, I had this letter put through our door. And very sadly, it said that her mother had died that last Tuesday. And she was telling me about the funeral date. And she just says, Mum was delighted to see you in hospital. So many thanks to you for your kindness to her and to me also. Now, I don't know what God was doing with that Bible. But I really felt that he had me there for a purpose, to meet my friend, to meet her mother, and to be able to give her God's word just at the end of her life. And my friend still has that Bible. I see her occasionally. We don't see each other so much now. But she still has that Bible at home, and I pray that God will still speak to her at the opportune moment through his word. Another time in hospital, actually, we went, the first time I ever went, we met a lady in her bed, and she said, asked us who we were and what we were doing, and we said, we're Christians, we're Gideons, and we're checking the Bibles, and she said, do you know, this morning, I was praying that I would meet a Christian today. I was really struggling. And it's little encouragements like that that are just amazing. The last time we went in, we had a really good reception. Don't let the media tell you otherwise. We were really welcomed. As we go around the beds, one of the Gideons will often go and talk to staff and say, would you like one, and give them a medical testament. And hardly ever do they refuse. And this time, when we were in the sort of lift lobby, we actually had people from theatre coming and saying, somebody's just told us you're giving out Bibles to the staff, but you haven't been to theatre and you haven't given us one. Can we have one? So they were coming and asking us for God's word. Really exciting. Brilliant. So, one other story I'd like to tell you before I hand it back to Chris is just again about the personal worker testaments. We carry them. The men tend to carry them in their jacket pockets. I carry one in my handbag. As we say, we gave one away yesterday. We just try and find and pray for open doors that we can give away God's word. And before Christmas, I don't know whether you have internet shopping delivery. I'd ordered Tesco shopping before Christmas. It was due to come on this day. You get the text message saying, yes, it's coming at 10 o'clock. But I got a text message saying, I'm sorry, but your driver, Neil, has been delayed. Now, I thought, do you know, Neil often delivers to me, and I don't think I've ever given him a Bible. So I was praying. But then I found that Neil, because you can check on the internet where they are, and I knew which road he was on. And I thought, and then I felt a bit guilty. I was getting cross because it was late, this Christmas shopping. And then I thought, well, maybe he's had an accident. So I started praying for Neil and the situation. Eventually got a text saying it will be delivered sometime today. I thought, okay, I was in. And then Andy arrived with my Tesco shopping about 1 o'clock. And I was praying, thinking, can I give this Bible away to him? So he unloaded all the shopping. And as he went, I just said, it was Christmas. And I said, can I give you something for Christmas? Something important. And I gave him the Bible and I showed him the helps in the front. And he said, thank you, that's great. Thank you very much. As I say, people rarely object. And he went away. Now, again, I don't know what that Bible's going to do. But beforehand, I'd prayed. And maybe Neil didn't need one of those at that moment. But maybe Andy needed that Bible on that day just before Christmas. So sometimes we don't know the outcome. But as Gideons, we just feel we need to be faithful for giving out God's word. And that can do the work. The Holy Spirit can take the words. Thank you. Hand back to Chris.
Thank you, dear. You know, God's word says it's sharper than any two-edged sword, doesn't he? He says in there, it will not return to him void. It will accomplish that he wants it to accomplish or achieve. And that's why we as Gideons just love to give Bibles away and leave them. I want to just share shortly just something about one of these. Now, many of you will have received these. These are the little New Testament and Psalms that we give away to children at school, usually when they're around about 11 years old, in the first year of school, year 7. We give these away, and I had opportunity, as Angela said, we live in Doncaster. 250 of these were given away to a school on Monday morning last. And, you know, it's very rare that anybody turns us down. It really is. We hear in the press again about, you know, pressures, etc., and what we should and shouldn't be doing as Christians. But, you know, God opens doors, and we still have the opportunity. Do you know, out of 250 kids last Monday morning at Hawcross School, only 4 said, well, 4 just passed us by and didn't want them. And one little Muslim lad said, please, sir, he said, I'm a Muslim. Should I take one? I said, yeah, you have one. It'll be okay. And he took it. You know, and I don't know what's happening with that little red New Testament. But I can share a story of one that we do know about. And that was a school somewhere in the British Isles, and they were leaving school. The Gideons had been in that morning. They'd given all of the students one of these. And one lad was messing about, showing off to his mates, whatever. And as he walked out the front of the school, I imagine a building quite like this. It had a sort of a portico, a single-story extension on the front. And he threw that New Testament up in the air, messing about, that sort of thing, expecting to catch it again. But he didn't, because a gust of wind caught it, and it dropped on the front of the roof, just at the front of the entrance of the school there. Now, unknown to this lad, up on the school roof was a man who was actually repairing the roof, you know, retarring the roof. And the New Testament dropped down near him, and he went and thought, what's that? So he picked it up, and he looked, and he realized it was a little Gideon New Testament and Psalms, just like this. And he looked over the edge, and he thought, well, all these kids leaving school at the end of the day, I can't even say, hey, one of you's dropped this or whatever. So he put it in his work bag, and he took it home, and he didn't mention it to anybody. He didn't mention it to his wife, he didn't mention it to his kids, but he started secretly reading it. A bit like the guy you saw, the first person on the video. That's a man called Lee Proudlove. He is now a minister, a Church of England minister, down in West Bridgford, Nottingham. But this little red New Testament that the worker, the roof repairer, well, he took it home and he started secretly reading it. And after a year, his wife said to him, what's happened to you? You're just so much nicer to me and the kids. What's happened to you? And somewhat secretly and furtively, he went to his room and pulled out from the bedside cabinet a little red testament like this. And he said, I've been reading this. She said, you better let me have a look at that. She read it. She was saved. They then passed it on to the kids. Both of their children were saved as well. Would you believe 4 people will now, when they die, go to be with the Lord? They are saved because of a little 80 pence book like this that was discarded and thrown away. You know, it's just amazing, isn't it? We praise God that he can do, and all we've got to do is just do a bit of witnessing for him. Just either give these away or speak to someone that you might meet tomorrow. You know, the opportunities do arise, especially if you do the dangerous thing of praying for them. They do actually happen. We've got opportunity now to give them away to all sorts of different places, and something that's just recently opened up to us is a camouflage testament like this. Excuse me. We found now that we can actually put on the front of the camouflage testaments, we can put the military group, whatever they are, if they'll let us have their crest, we'll put it on there. And in the back, we'll put their military prayer that is their own prayer. And do you know, the lads and the ladies going off, and when they pick up their kit, they wouldn't not take one of these if it's got their crest on the front of it. They would want it as it's part of their kit. And a little while, when we're finished, we've got a stand outside with some examples. And even the local police here have got their own crest on the front of the New Testament. And it's another fantastic way that God is opening doors to us to give away copies of God's word. There's a man called Tim Keller who's a clever guy. He's a Christian, and he writes books. And he said in one of his books, only Christians armed with the word, being the Bible, and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, planning and working to spread the kingdom and righteousness of Christ can transform a nation as well as a neighborhood, as well as a broken heart. I'm just going to repeat that. Only Christians armed with the Word and the Spirit, planning and working to spread the kingdom and righteousness of Christ can transform a nation as well as a neighborhood, as well as a broken heart. Your partners with us, thank you for letting us come here this morning and just share a bit about what the Lord is doing through the Gideons. And we've got some of our local Gideons here who, as I say, are going to be on a stand at the back there. If you are, or have been, if you're retired, a Christian business or professional guy, please come and see us. We'd love to meet you. You can be a member of the Gideons, possibly. Come and see us. Anybody, please come and see us about being a friend of the Gideons. And even friends of the Gideons this year can get hold of a special New Testament that we've now done. You have to buy yourself, very much like this. And you can buy these and you can give these away in personal witness on the bus tomorrow, or the train, or the plane, or wherever you find yourself, or with a Tesco delivery man. So we'd love to speak to you, and you can also become a friend of the Gideons if you'll pray for us. And you'll get a quarterly magazine. This is what we read in Isaiah 55, verse 11. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. That's what the Lord says in his word in Isaiah 55, verse 11. And I just want to finish by using Luke chapter 10, verse 2. You're all aware of these words that it says in here. And it says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. If you feel touched this morning, that you could come and help us, please, as I say, come and have a word with us, and may God's will be done, and may more people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just going to pray, and then I'm going to hand back over to Cliff. Lord, I thank you for all the dear folk who are assembled here this morning in this room, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that there is a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ here, and an increasing witness, especially amongst those who are going to go through the waters of baptism in just a moment. Lord, we pray that you will steady their hearts. Lord, it's an unusual thing to do in front of family and friends, to go through the waters of baptism, but Lord, it is what you've told us to do after we have proclaimed that we want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we pray that you will bless them. And, Lord, grow the work here in the church. Grow the witness of the church here. When our dear friends here go out tomorrow to work or school or whatever else it is, Lord, that they might be doing tomorrow, pray, Lord, that you'll give them the opportunity to show the love and the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we heard earlier through the testimonies shared by the baptismal folk, Lord, we just can see changed lives. We can just see differences in them, even in their faces, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. So, Lord, continue to use us, Lord, as it pleases you, to do your work while ever we tarry, while ever we're alive upon this earth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, Cliff.
Let's just continue in an attitude of prayer, shall we? Let's just close our eyes. One thing that I'm absolutely convinced of is that when we come to know God and we look back over our lives before we knew him, we see things that happened to us and At the time, we put them down as chance or just a chance thing. The more we serve God, we realize there's no such thing as chance. But God's sovereign will calling us to himself. And this morning, I don't know why you are here or why you've come. You may have come to see some folk being baptized, or you may have just come as a visitor. But I want to say God has ordained that you should be here today. This is not chance, this is a God appointment. And I want to tell you, my friend, God loves you. He's had his hand upon your life for a long time. And what you've heard today can change your life. Jesus Christ died on the cross for you because he loved you so much. And if today you will acknowledge him as your Savior and ask him to come into your life, he won't patch the old life up. The Bible says he'll give you a brand new life. The old will go and a new life will come. And to receive Jesus, you've got to open the door of your life. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man opens the door, I will come in." Jesus Christ will come into your life if you invite him. While every head is bowed, while every eye is closed, I would like to pray a prayer, and I would like us all to say it. And if you are praying this prayer to invite Jesus to come into your life for the first time, asking him to be your Lord and Savior, then pray it with sincerity and God will hear. The Bible says, we've heard it today, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And in this prayer, all we are doing is calling upon the name of the Lord. Let's pray this prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you today. I acknowledge that Jesus died for me and that I am a sinner in your sight and in need of your forgiveness. Today I ask you to forgive my sin, to come into my life and to be my Savior. I receive you right now as my Lord and as my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for hearing this prayer. Help me from today to live my life for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, every head's bowed and every eye still closed. Is there anyone who has prayed that prayer, maybe for the first time, to ask Jesus to come into their lives? If there is, will you just raise your hand? I'll see it. I'll ask you to put it down. A public acknowledgement that today you're receiving Christ as your Lord and Savior. Is there anyone? Just raise your hand, put it down. I'll see it, but more importantly, God will see it. Is there anyone? Father, we thank you. We've heard today that your word will not return unto you empty, but it will accomplish the purpose to which you send it. And Lord, we pray that wherever your word has been sent today and dropped into hearts, that Lord, it will spring forth into everlasting life. And Lord, people's lives will be transformed. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.